This is the Building Resilience Podcast, episode 199, Parenting Transitions.
Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Building Resilience Podcast. Today, I decided to do this podcast because I was inspired by one of the members in my Connections membership program. She was talking about some of the challenges she's been having transitioning to being an empty nester. So you go from being constantly in motion with your kids and constant demand, in the know of everything in your child's life, often in control of everything in your child's life when they're younger, to being a very dominant figure, being a superhero in some cases when they're children. And then very quickly, you enter into the teen years where you're quickly dismissed or pushed to the side, not the center of attention for sure, maybe not even on the stage, not in the know of many cases. And this can be hard. And eventually they move out and it just continues. We don't have that same access that we used to. We don't have that same busyness in our life that we used to as well. And if you're a parent, you have likely made a lot of sacrifices for your kids in your life. They are really a part of you, essentially. I remember somebody describing to me, like, a child is like your raw heart walking around with legs. And then it's like you go from 100 miles an hour to zero, or pretty close to zero pretty quickly. So if you have kids who are older teens or young adults, you may resonate with some of what I'm saying. And the other thing that my client pointed out is it's not that you're not happy for your children and that you don't want them to have their own adventures. Of course you want them to have their own adventures. You want them to be independent. You want them to not need you. That's why we raise them. We raise them to leave us so they can lead amazing, adventurous, independent lives. And they are meant to swap you out as number one for their partner to be number one, and then to go on to create their own immediate families. And we want that. So it's not completely a sadness about that. But as I shared with her, being an empty nester myself, there is a sense of loss. There is a sense of grief. And it can be a profound grief in some ways. Things change. Feels a bit out of control sometimes. We don't really get a say in the transition and how it happens and how fast it can happen. But there can also be a sense of relief, a sense of freedom, a sense of excitement. It's different for all of us, and there's really no right way to do it. And there's no wrong way to do it either. So there's no judgment if you're grieving, and no judgment if you're celebrating, and no judgment if you're doing both, because I think that's what a lot of people do. They have the grief and they have the celebration and the freedom. Now, the only thing, of course, that we always get to decide is our response. We get to decide what we do with our own lives. And as I shared with my client, I do believe that the richer your own life is, the more you have diversified your own life over the years. And you may want to check out episode 175 called Identity Diversification, because I kind of talk about that. The more you can fill your days with meaningful activities, things that light you up, the easier all these transitions are for you. But I still don't think that means you're not going to grieve at times. I don't think as parents we can actually avoid feeling the loss. And frankly, I'm not sure I want to. I want to miss my kids because I do miss my kids. I want to miss the old times because I did love raising my kids. I love that stage. And I look forward to different stages. I can enjoy the stage I'm in now, and I can grieve the past stage at the same time. So I think it's perfectly normal to have both, hold the grief and hold the contentment and the excitement of the current times. But the more diversified you are, or the more that you're trying to diversify your whole identity, the more you will have a wider range of feelings, which will include ones like excitement. And we can hold all these emotions together, normal, healthy emotions, and they all need to be felt. Now, the last thing we chatted about is this idea that as our kids transition, we may find ourselves having a different versions of ourselves over and over and over again. Even when we look at our own interests and our own social circles, I think back to how many friends that I've had over the years that were associated with things that my kids were doing. We met on the playground. We met on the soccer field. Some of these people now I rarely see anymore, whereas I used to see them daily on the playground or at soccer practice, or even sometimes several times a day. Often it ended up being a friendship because our kids were friends. And other people, I've just been able to transition and we just have a relationship that's separate. So you can actually feel your social life also shifting as your kids transition. And that can be something to consider and can be contributing to the whole range of emotions you may be feeling. Because sometimes if your social circle was heavily relied on activities that your kids were involved in, then it is harder when you don't see those same people as frequently as you used to. Now, with all that, you may think that today we're going to talk about being empty nesters. And it is a really good topic, and I want to bring a guest on to chat about it. But today, I really wanted to talk about the stages and the transitions that we do go through as parents and talk a little bit about the impact of the nervous system with those transitions. One of the things that I really do believe that is so helpful for our nervous system is to normalize things. I know when my client was sharing her experiences in our connections group, other people were piping in that they totally understood, that they had similar experiences, similar feelings. And I think that shows that even though we're all unique, there are some universal experiences that we share. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you if you're struggling with a particular transition in life. There's nothing wrong with you if you're excited about a particular transition in life. Transitions can be difficult and they can require adjustment. And there is often a sense of loss or a sense of fear of the unknown. There could be a longing for things to be the way they used to be, a desire to return to the familiar. And there is nothing wrong with that. That is, in fact, what our brain wants to do. It wants to get back to the familiar. And as parents, we go through all these transitions, and that's what I want to talk about today, because it is normal. Parenting is a constant evolution. So if you're a parent, you already know this. What was yesterday is not necessarily the way things will be tomorrow. You figure something out only for it to be outdated and the next phase is upon you. So it's really easy to feel uncertain or anxious when our roles change as our kids grow. So by talking about these different stages, I think it helps as a parent to feel understood that you're not alone in the confusion or the emotional roller coaster that comes with each phase. And if nothing else, this episode was really helpful to me because I'm navigating all these things too, or have navigated many of the phases, and I can share my perspectives, which somebody out there may find helpful. I think that when parents start to pay attention to their emotions during these transitions, it can be a game changer. A lot of the stress we feel as parents comes from not realizing what's going on inside us. And if we can connect that to how our nervous system responds to things in different phases, then we're better equipped to handle it. And we also want to understand the transitions and the phases so that we can navigate these tough times with more patience and self-compassion. That is for sure one thing that I shared with my empty nest member. She needs to give herself a lot more grace and a lot more self-compassion for making the massive transition that she is in. And while it would be great if our kids or even our partners can give us that same grace and understanding and compassion, it's not always the case. And in fact, it's probably rarely the case that our kids are going to give it to us because they are busy leading their own lives. So we need to be giving it to ourselves. What can also be really helpful to remember is that when parents are more aware of their own emotional state, they can better support their kids in their emotional states. which, as you've likely noticed, kids can be all over the map as they are making the transitions from childhood to teenage to young adults. And let's be real, these changes in parenthood, they are hard on everybody, including the kids. And when parents understand what's happening inside them and can identify and describe and can regulate their own nervous system, then they create a sense of safety and calm for the people around them, including their children, which can be a big deal because it does make it easier for our kids to manage their own stress and adjust to their transitions to become more resilient, whether it be that they're starting school or they're hitting puberty or they're moving out. Now, another reason I wanted to talk about this today is because I think talking about how our roles shift and need to shift, and in fact, I believe are designed to shift, actually helps strengthen our relationship with our kids. When we're aware of how we need to adapt, we avoid falling into traps like being too controlling with our teens or too distant with our adult kids. And understanding these changes really helps keep the relationship strong and healthy as they continue to evolve. And lastly, I wanted to share this with you because it's back to the self-compassion piece. There's something really powerful about giving parents permission to be kind to themselves and for them to know that they are not alone. Parenting is tough, and sometimes we expect ourselves to get it right all the time. When you remember that it's okay to grow and change and make mistakes, we can actually reduce some of the burnout and foster a healthier, more compassionate parenting experience. I want you to know that if you're a parent, you're not alone in navigating the crazy roller coaster. We can do it together with grace, resilience, make mistakes along the way, but also by being able to laugh about it all. So let's dive in. I'm going to share with you a couple of analogies that I like to use that help me wrap my head around what the parenting journey actually is. One of them you might have heard me talk about before, the idea of flying a plane, and then I'm going to share a couple others along the way. It's just different ways to think about parenting so you can see which one resonates for you. So when your kids are young and in childhood, you can think of yourself like being the gardener, and you're planting the seeds. And you're making sure that the seeds are getting proper sunshine, you're watering them a lot, you are nourishing them. You get to tend the garden, and they are usually responsive to your tending. You can get rid of the weeds, you can control the nourishment. Some of what you plant will grow, and some of it won't. And you will not see the growth often because it is beneath the soil, but that doesn't matter, you just keep going. Your job is to make sure that the soil is as nutritious as possible to allow the growth. And we know that the soil does matter. So while we can't control how fast something grows or exactly what it's going to look like in the end, we want to create the best environment for it to flourish. Now, in my airplane example, I think of childhood like we are up in an airplane with our child. And initially, I am flying the plane. I get to decide what we do, how far we go, how high we fly. And initially, my child is going to be buckled into the back seat, probably in a car seat, and I do the flying. Now, as they grow throughout childhood, I may want to give a little bit more explanation. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? Maybe start asking them what they would do or if they understood what I'm doing in certain situations. I'm still in charge, but I'm slowly starting to share more, helping them understand the basics of flying, learning the maps, the flight plan. And so with childhood, they will kind of move from being in the back seat to being the passenger seat. And it can be a very gradual process, but we are more in a teaching mode. And overall, in this stage of childhood, we are the ones who are responsible. We provide the nourishment, either directly through us, or we ensure that other people are involved and we provide the protection. That's our job, to provide a safe environment to have a safe flight plan. Well, as safe as we possibly can make it. So from the perspective of the nervous system, as a parent, it can be pretty daunting because depending on the state of your nervous system too, it can be triggering depending on the impressions that have been made upon us in our own nervous system over the years. We may feel anxiety or hypervigilance with the weight of the responsibility of taking care of these kids. And sometimes our own nervous system may need more tending to than we're giving it. Our nervous system always needs tending. In addition to tending to our children, we need to be taking care of ourselves. Our kids may be pretty demanding, but we cannot be pouring from an empty pitcher. So we may need to ensure that we're taking regular care of ourselves, doing some daily practice, setting some structure, having a regular schedule, consistent times for the fundamentals, nutrition, sleep, movement, for you and for your kids. You want to be nurturing yourself throughout the day, even these quick little check-ins, a slow breath, using the safety sequence, touching points of safety throughout your day. And then, of course, we do need connection. Always, this is the common theme. Connecting with ourselves, our friends, our family, our higher power. We need to connect with our kids as well, emotionally and physically. Now, the next phase after childhood is the tween and the teen. And instead of being a gardener, we can think of parenting more like a coach. So you may be guiding your children with more freedom, but still overseeing their actions and ensuring that they don't stray too far. And as they get older into teen years, you really take on the role of a coach that is offering support, still doing some training, but you can't control every play. Your child starts making decisions on their own, but they still may want some guidance. From the perspective of the airplane, in childhood, they go from having you doing all the flying, then they're the passengers, first in the back seat, then they're beside you. But as teens, they may take over the role of pilot and you move to the side as passenger. And in this stage, this transition may really bring about fears of loss of control as your child becomes more independent. And that can actually trigger your own stress response, that fight or flight response. As we get maybe more in high alert, hypervigilant, maybe we have more worry that something is going to happen to our kids. As they get older and older, this phase can really trigger other feelings like helplessness or anxiety. And as the teens push for more independence, often that is going to clash with our protective instincts. So again, the more regulated you can be, the better. We need to practice regulating our own nervous system, regulating our own emotional responses, taking a pause before reacting, breathing, relaxing our body. We need to be taking care of ourselves at this phase as well, and be aware that we are often setting the tone and the pace at home. Now, you might have heard me mention before the term co-regulation. Essentially, our nervous systems are always communicating with each other. So as a parent, you want to model how to handle stress. You want to model calmness. And you may be able to do a little bit of direct teaching if they're open to it, but often the best teaching is not in the words. Now, this stage can be really activating because we do want to empower their independence. We do want to encourage them to make choices. We do want to give them space to try things while still being a steady, safe presence. And this is a time where they can make mistakes, and that can be triggering for us. The need and the feeling that we can't allow them to make mistakes because we worry it's going to impact them long term. And so we try to wrap them in bubble wrap and make sure that they're going to be safe all the time. It can be triggering because we can't do that with our kids. They require the bumps and the scrapes and the challenges to build up their own resilience. And that means they will make mistakes and they will get themselves into trouble sometimes. When they do push back, of course, we also need to set some clear boundaries. We want to teach them and show them that it's important to establish healthy boundaries. Healthy boundaries gives children and everybody a sense of security. We want to try to create a space for open, non-judgmental communication, where your teen can feel safe sharing their thoughts and feelings. So the safety piece is key. Overall, safety is going to reduce stress for your child and stress for you. When they are a teenager, although they may not like any guidance, we do want to help them out with being a CEO. a teenager's frontal lobe where their CEO is located is still in the development phase until at least the mid-20s. So as this coach, you may want to try to help them with some problem solving, executive function skills. But instead of dictating solutions, you want to be asking questions that encourage them to think through their challenges, to foster autonomy while still staying connected with them. And then the next phase is a phase that I don't think we talk much about, or certainly not enough about. We talk about babies, we talk about toddlers, we talk about teens, and then we kind of stop talking. But I think any parent who has young adults will tell you that this is a very unique stage as well. We kind of become like the consultants. We can provide feedback and advice when requested, but we actually have to step back and allow them to just live their own lives. Now, from the perspective of my plane analogy, they may have been flying the plane as a teen with you as a co-pilot, but now they're flying on their own, and they may even kick you out of the plane. In fact, they're very likely going to kick you out of the plane. And I like to think that, all right, I've been kicked out of the plane. I head over to the control tower, and I can be reachable from there. They can radio in. I can send them warnings. But what I've also learned is that some kids will radio in and will appreciate the heads up if it looks like they're flying too low or about to crash into something. And other kids just turn their radio off. And they'll turn it on if they need to communicate with you. But other than that, they're doing their own thing. And as a parent, this can be tough. It can be so hard to let go. And you can start to feel really uncertain about your own role in their life and in your own life. You may feel dismissed, and depending on your role in your kids' lives up until now, it can feel like a massive transition. And I do think this speaks again of the importance of all along at every stage, making sure that you're taking care of yourself, and not just self-care, but make sure you're developing your own life, your own hobbies, your own support network, your own friends, kind of like the concept of that identity diversification episode 175 that I talked about earlier. The more diversified you are with your interests, your skills, your hobbies, your roles, the easier it is to transition through things. But if you haven't been doing that all along, it's okay. You can just start now. And it is okay if you have a hard time starting now because transitions are difficult. Now, in this stage, we are trying to respect our children's independence. We're trying to be mindful not to overstep and respect boundaries. It can be a bit of a dance because, as I said, all kids are different and they all have different needs. My husband and I joke that when we talk to our kids now, we often FaceTime them. It's like we just get our popcorn and we sit, and it's kind of like we're watching a show. It's their show, their life. We can just enjoy it. We may have some reactions, but it's their life. They may request input, and even then, we have to be conscious of what our role is, what they are inviting in. And I really want to emphasize that this is dependent on our kids as well. They are all individuals. I do think it's important to try to have some connection. And I know that we decided that while we wanted to be respectful of our children's independence, we're still their parents and we're still humans. And it's okay for us to ask for things, to ask for contact, to ask for check-ins and time together, but it's a balance. We do try to follow their lead, but I think it's also okay to share that you're human too with feelings and make some requests, knowing that they may not always abide by your requests. And that is totally fine and it is their right. And here, it's also important to be regulating yourself. It's not for your kids to be taking care of your emotions. I do think, again, it's okay to share that you miss them and want to talk to them, but it's not their job to make you feel better or to take care of you. You need to do that. I think as they get older, it can transition into more of an adult relationship where there is more of give and take. But when we're at that younger adult years, we may still see that there is not quite a balanced dynamic. And then there's the next stage, which I haven't hit, so I can only speculate, when your kids are fully grown and maybe have a family of their own. So maybe you become a grandparent. And again, I see that as being very different in that you can be a support system. Maybe you can pass on some wisdom or some tradition or some stories. You can be in the background. I know that I would like to have my own relationship with my grandkids. I want to create memories. I want to be a resource for both my kids and my grandkids. I want to be a safe space. But again, a lot is going to come down to my own regulation and my own ability to co-regulate. I'm sure lots of things will come up that will dysregulate me. Just naturally getting older and dealing with all the unknowns there. I'm sure it's going to be hard for my kids to juggle the time between work, the time that they want to spend with just their immediate family, the time that they need to spend between families. And for my kids, that means multiple families sometimes on both sides due to divorce. And then the time I want to spend with them and my grandkids. So really wanting to be respectful of all the competing demands, I'm sure it's going to require some deliberateness, lots of grace, and lots of regulation. And of course, probably some investment too, ranging from financial to emotional. So overall, you can see being a parent, there are a lot of different transitions that you're going to go through. And we're all going to go through them all. I think most people want to try to navigate all these transitions as smooth as possible, which really means you have to get to know your nervous system. You have to befriend your nervous system and give yourself a lot of grace and a lot of self-compassion. Transitions are not easy. Parenting certainly is not easy, but it's definitely easier when you have these nervous system tools and your nervous system is on your side. Hope you found that helpful, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience Podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.